In Moses' third and final message to the people, he summarizes all the laws, and he exhorts the people to be obedient. Here's that summary. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it?" Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it?" But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and adversity, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you both life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. In chapters 31 through 34, Moses installs Joshua as his successor, delivers the law to the priest, and he ascends up to Mount Nebo, where he dies. There on the mountain before the body of Moses is buried, an argument breaks out between Beelzebub, who is Satan, and the angel Michael. They have known each other since the very beginning of the first day of creation, when they were created together. Michael does not even bring a railing accusation against Beelzebub, but says to him, "The Lord rebuke you." Satan does not get the body of Moses. The Lord has the body of Moses buried on Mount Nebo. For 30 days, the people mourn the death of Moses. And at the end of the time of mourning, the 40 years are completed, and it is time to enter into the promised land. Joshua is in charge. Joshua has all the authority to lead the people across the Jordan. The Lord promises to give the land to the people just as he promised Moses. Everywhere they place their feet, that land will belong to them, from the wilderness to the Tigris and the Euphrates and the land of the Hittites over to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to defeat them as they take the land, if they will be careful to do according to the law commanded by Moses. They are to live by the book, speaking and obeying all it says. With this promise from the Lord in Joshua's ears, he sends out word throughout the camp to prepare to cross over the Jordan River in 3 days. Joshua gives specific instructions to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh. Now, the whole clan of these tribes is already camped on its land on the east side of the Jordan, but they must help capture the land on the west side for the rest of the tribes. So when they cross over in battle array, their wives and their children will stay back on the land, but the fighting men of those three tribes must go help capture the promised land for the other tribes. The three tribes agree, and they promise to follow Joshua, obeying everything he says. If someone does not follow Joshua, the suggested penalty is death. Now Joshua sends two men to spy out the land and the town of Jericho. And after searching out the city, they find a place to stay in the home of Rahab. People in Jericho tell the king that these two men are in town, staying in Rahab's house. And the king orders that they be arrested. When the soldiers arrive at Rahab's home, she tells him that the men have already left town. but in reality she's hidden them under the stalks of flax on her roof. Now the soldiers leave town about the time that the gate is shut, and they attempt to catch up with the spies before they reach the Jordan. Well, back at Rahab's home, before bedding down for the night, she tells these two spies how much the people really fear the Israelites, and how they have heard that God dried up the Red Sea 40 years before, and how they utterly had destroyed the Amorite kings from Sihon and Og. And she knows the Lord is with them, and she begs them to promise her that her father's house and the family will be safe when they come to take Jericho. It is the reason she has been kind to them. They agree to the promise, and her house is connected to the outer wall of the city, and she lets them down out of her window by lowering them down in a basket. Then she tells them to hide in the hills country for 3 days until the soldiers return. Then they can go on their way. The two spies put a condition on this promise. After she lets them down, she is to tie a red ribbon in the window. In addition, she must gather all her family that she won't save to stay in her house, not in their individual homes. Anyone not in her house will not be saved. And Rahab agrees. 3 days later, the two spies return to Joshua, and they tell him about the promise. The next morning, Joshua moves the camp of all the Israelites from Shittim down to the Jordan, directly east of Jericho, and he sends out word through the camp that they will cross the Jordan in 3 days. So on that third day, all the people follow the priest, carrying the ark down to the water's edge. And when the priest touches the water, the Jordan stops running back at the city of Adam, and all the rest of the water continues down into the Dead Sea. The priest stops in the middle of the river on dry ground, and all the people cross over into the Promised Land. Joshua has told them that the crossing would be so spectacular that they would know God was with them. Well, with all the people on the west side of the Jordan, the priests are still in the middle of the river. So Joshua gathers 12 men, one from each tribe, and sends them out to get 12 large stones from the riverbed where the priests are standing. They are to carry them to where they are going to camp that night. With that accomplished, Joshua himself goes and takes 12 stones from the riverbed, and he forms an altar in the middle of the river, right where the priests are with the ark, a monument to what has happened there. With the monument built, Joshua returns to the bank, and he commands the priests to come out of the river. When the priest's feet touch the edge of the bank, the river begins to flow and fills the dry Jordan all the way down to the Dead Sea. In the camp just past Jericho, Joshua sets the 12 stones to form a monument there for all to see and all to remember for all the ages to come. The campsite is called Gilgal, and it all takes place on the 10th month of 1435 B.C. News travels fast, and the Canaanites hear of the dry waters of the Jordan. It causes their hearts to melt, and it kills their fighting spirit, and they are afraid of God and the Israelites. So the Lord tells Joshua, "I want you to make knives of flint and circumcise the men." All the men who had left Egypt 40 years before were circumcised, but all the men and boys who had been born during the last 40 years of the wilderness journey were not circumcised. Joshua does as the Lord requires, and they stay in Gilgal until they all have healed. The camp observes Passover on the 14th day of Nisan, just as they have for the past 40 years. But on the 15th day, they eat food grown in the Promised Land with their unleavened bread and their parched grain. The very next day, the Lord does not send the manna to feed them, and he will never send it again. From that day on, the Israelites will eat the food grown in the Promised Land. One day, Joshua is looking over the city of Jericho, and he sees a man with a sword in his hand. Joshua asks him if he is a friend or a foe. He tells Joshua he is the captain of the Lord's host, and Joshua falls to his knees before him. He tells Joshua to remove his sandals because he is on holy ground, and Joshua complies. Jericho is secure, and its kings and soldiers live in fear of the Israelites and their God. The Lord gives Joshua instructions on how to take the city, and he carries out the plan. On the first day, the warriors go in front of the ark and behind it, as all the people follow it. On the sound of one blast of the seven ram's horns, they circle the city very quietly. On day two, the seven horns blast one sound, and all the people repeat the process. For 6 days, the same parade takes place in quiet. The single blast of the seven horns in unison is all that is heard. Now, before the seventh day, Joshua instructs the people that everything in Jericho is banned. It cannot come back to the Jewish camp, except the gold, the silver, the bronze, and iron, which is to go into the treasury. Additionally, on this day, they will quietly circle the city seven times, and when the priest blows the trumpets, they will all shout, and the walls of the city will fall to the ground. It all happens just as Joshua says, and all the walls come tumbling down. Joshua sends the spies to Rahab's house to bring out all the possessions and all her family and place them outside the camp. The men do as Joshua instructs. The rest of the people rush onto the city and they destroy every man, every woman, every child, and every animal with the sword. Everything else in the city is burned except those things collected for the treasury. Joshua then swears a curse on the man who rebuilds Jericho. His firstborn will die while they are laying the foundation, and his youngest son will die when they hang its gates. Near Jericho is Ai, and Joshua has decided to conquer it next. So he sends out men to spy out the land. And then they return to tell him that 3,000 will surely be enough to destroy the people there. So Joshua takes their advice, but things go terribly wrong. At Ai, the opponents quickly kill 36 of the Jews, causing a retreat. The men of Ai follow them and kill the rest. The hearts of Joshua and all the people melt when they hear the news. Joshua falls before the Lord and pours out his heart. The Lord answers, saying, "Rise up, why have you fallen on your face?" Unclear of why they have lost the battle, it is because they have sin in their camp. Someone has broken the law by taking something that was banned in Jericho. Instructions are given on how the Lord wants to point out the culprit. So the next day, Joshua and all the tribes pass by, and Judah is selected. All the families of Judah pass by, and Zerahite is selected. All the Zerahites pass by, and Zabdi is selected. And all the men of Zabdi pass by, and Achan is selected. Achan confesses that he was tempted by a beautiful idol, 200 pieces of silver and a bar of gold worth 50 shekels. They are hidden in his tent in the ground. So Joshua sends the men to take those items out of the tent, and sure enough, the tale is true. Joshua takes Achan, the banned items, his family, animals, and his possessions to the valley, and all the people stone them. Their bodies are burned, and the people heap upon them a huge mountain of stones. The favor of the Lord is restored, and they name the place the Valley of Achor. Armed with 5,000 valiant warriors, Joshua then sends them back to Ai as instructed by the Lord. They are sent at night to the back of the city where they are to wait. Joshua then takes 25,000 men, and he approaches the front of the city. The people of Ai will come out, and Joshua and his people will run. Ai will follow. And with Ai's warriors out of the city, Joshua raises up his javelin, and the 5,000 warriors come from behind and seize the city and burn it. Ai's men are shocked to see their city burning. Joshua and his 25,000 men then pursue them and kill 12,000 of their inhabitants, both men and women. They catch the king of Ai, and they hang him from a tree. And Joshua builds an altar to God on Mount Ebal, made of uncut stone, never beaten by an iron tool. He offers burnt offerings and writes the law of Moses on the altar stones. The king's body is taken down at sunset and thrown into the city. The city is covered with a heap of stones. However, the Israelites take the cattle and the possessions of the city as reward. Then the elders, the officers, the judges, and the priests come out with the ark and stand there. Half are on Mount Gerizim and half in front of Mount Ebal. Joshua reads to them every single word of Moses' law. Everyone is there, from the youngest child to the oldest adult. All the Canaanite kings of a land band together in one accord to fight against the Israelites after the destruction of Jericho and Ai. They are all descendants of the sons of Canaan, grandson of Noah. Canaan was cursed when Noah's son Ham saw his father nude in the tent. And the Canaanite clan at Gibeon devises a plan to trick the Israelites. They send an envoy loaded with old stale bread, old cracked wine sacks, and wearing old torn and patched clothes to the Israelite. They tell Joshua that they are from a distant land and they want to settle there. After 3 days, the Israelites set out to conquer it, as well as their relatives. And when they find the people there with whom Joshua has made a covenant, they do not strike them because of the promise. But Joshua asks them, "Why did you lie to us?" Joshua tells them, "Now you are going to be cursed. You will cut, you will carve wood, and you will provide water for the house of God." They tell Joshua that they heard that he was supposed to kill all the Canaanites, and they were very afraid. Well, Joshua tells them that he will keep his promise with them, but they are going to be in servitude to Israel and to the altar of the Lord, thus fulfilling the curse of Noah upon his grandson Canaan, whose people and descendants will serve Noah's son Shem. The five Amorite kings hear of the capture of Gibeon, and they are fearful because it is a huge and powerful city. They bind together to defeat Gibeon and to march to its city limits. Now the Gibeonites hear of their coming and send to Joshua for help, and the Israelites march all night, and they arrive in time to save the Gibeonites. During that battle, the five kings hide in a cave at Makkedah, and Joshua has the cave sealed with a stone while they fight the Amorite men. The Amorite men run to the hills, and the Israelites pursue them. Joshua calls for the Lord to stop the movement of the sun and the moon, and the Lord grants his request. And for the whole day, the sun stands still, high in the air. The Lord sends great hailstones on the Amorites to help the Israelites fight. More die by the stones than by the Israelite swords. And when the battle is over, Joshua calls for the five kings. The warriors bring them, and Joshua has the Israelites stand on the king's necks. He calls for all the people to know that the Lord is on their side, and then he kills the kings, and he has their bodies hung on trees. The sun begins to move, and at sunset, Joshua has the bodies removed from the trees and thrown in the cave to hide them. The cave is sealed, never to be opened again. After killing the five Amorite kings, the Israelites and their camp is in peace outside Makkedah. And on the following day, they begin their conquest of all the Canaanite cities. From Makkedah, they go to Libna, then on to Lachish, to Gezer, to Eglon, to Hebron, to Debir, to Kadesh Barnea, to Gaza, and to Goshen. Not one Canaanite in any city survives, but they do not kill those at Gibeon because of their promise with them. And at the end of the conquest, the Israelites return to their camp at Gilgal, just outside Jericho. When Jabin, the king of Hazor, hears of the Israelites' conquest, he sends word to all the other Canaanite kings. They all join him with their armies to fight the Jews. And when Joshua sees them together, they look to be as numerous as the sands on the seashore, but the Lord assures Joshua of his victory. The Canaanites run from Joshua, and the war continues for a long time, and all the kings and their people are destroyed. And Joshua captures all the land from the hill country to the Negev, to the land of Goshen, the Arabah, from Halak to the valley of Lebanon at Mount Hermon. From there he attacks Anakim in the hills of Judah, and kills everyone from Debir, Hebron, and Anab. However, Joshua does not enter Gaza, Gath, or Ashdod, where some Canaanites remain. All the land is given to the tribes that will make it their home, and finally Israel rests from war. During that time, 33 Canaanite kings are defeated, and Joshua records for all times the names of their cities.